As you know, that my family's been through a couple of really rough months. But the joy that's resident and it's beginning to make its move on me again. A really, really deep-seated joy, and it's making me want to know more about it. This is the way I've been explaining it, and I hadn't been able to do better. I can't tell you how many times I've been promised certain amounts of money, and then at first you really plan for it, then it doesn't come through, and after a while you even quit the planning, you just wait. Well, you know, you're really happy and excited about it, and you're full of joy, and emotional for a period of time, but yet you survive all of it because of the deep-seated peace that you have. Well, you know, peace, you can have all that peace when all hell's turning loose around you, and it'll sustain you. But this is the difference in peace and joy. Joy is what it feels like after somebody does come up and say, well, I'm not going to put $1 million in your bank account. I'm going to put $5 million. And you're going with me because I'm going to do it right now. Just to prove to you I'm going to do it, I'll just cash out $1 million for you and put it in your hand as cash. And then you can put it back in the bank. Then you're walking around with the power of that $5 million in the bank. Whoa. Tremendous amount of joy. Hey, see that car? I could have that if I wanted that. See that house? I could have that house if I wanted it. What could you not have? Not much. I could have that if I wanted it. And all that power you're running around with, fortifying your emotions and everything. What joy feels like is when you don't have the $5 million. And you feel like you do. Feel like you do. But I don't have a thing. Why are you happy about? Because my exceeding joy. But you shouldn't be all full of joy. Now look at the mess you're in. Oh, don't you get it? Everything here is temporal. It's all temporary. I'm not going to be in this long. So why should I waste one of my breaths not full of joy? I don't think so. I don't think so. See? The more you shout to victory, the more it's going to apprehend you and take you on a little journey that'll manifest itself.
Well, I don't feel like...
You got quite a journey ahead of you. Well, the joy that I experienced, it came after a defeat of something that Satan really tried to destroy my whole life and ministry with. And when I won, that's the first time I experienced the description of the kind of joy. And it's a tremendous thing because it had sustaining power like nothing I've ever walked in. But yet the walk to that kind of joy, it's just as systematic as any of the other blessings that he has for us. Except that it seems to add a dimension to a person's walk and life that fills, F-I-L-L-S, not F-E-E-L-S, fills your life with the life you're looking for. That's what I've been saying.
Brother Robertson,
yes. what do you think pulled you within range of that kind of joy? Do you know? Yes, I know. I know. It's when I first started breaking into the room. Do you remember when I first started coming out with the terminology, a place called? It was when I began to touch that place called done. And if I get to tonight, that's what I'll be going for. This place called done is the place of faith that's admired by every preacher that's trying to get anything done, every preacher that's ever went overseas, every preacher that's broke through to the phenomenal, supernatural. This place called done is the most connected thing with grace that you'll ever get a hold of. And when you think about the definition of grace, we usually break it down into our religious terms that we say to each other. Well, it's the unmeritable, unearnable standing of a God. Then we look at each other like we know. And indeed, it is unmeritable, unearnable standing that you and I receive from Him. See, we know that, and we mostly know that concerning our righteousness. Because we understand the concept that we couldn't be saved without Him. But we know very little about grace and the place called done and everything else that He's provided for us. Or worry would be something you knew nothing about. Thank you, Jesus. Well, this place called done. You know, now with righteousness, it's not hard to explain. You know, even the difference between mercy and grace is pretty vast. And mercy is mostly what He has towards the sinner. Grace is mostly what He has towards the believer. And as hard as I've tried, I can't come up with a better definition than the one He gave me in the Spirit one day after praying the mystery of mercy and grace up before the Father. And I believe I was breaking Luke, the 6th chapter. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. So I did pretty good on the chapter and I got to that part. Had to define mercy and grace to see what He was talking about. The difference between mercy and grace is basically this. You and I got thrown on the other side of a void of spiritual death. We couldn't go over to God. And really, He couldn't come over to us. There was really no fellowship. But in a great act of mercy, Jesus, the mighty Logos, became a man. And the only way that He could get across the void of spiritual death is walk through it. He had to come in where we are to take us out where He is. But before He crossed that void of death, you could stand on the edge of that void of death and beg God to save you, and He didn't have nothing to save you with. But in an extreme act of mercy, Jesus crossed that void and died in our place, shed His blood, so that you could pick His blood up and walk to the edge of the void and say, "Can you save me now?" And He said, "Yes, I can, because of the mercy that Jesus Christ had on you. I can save you now." And so then, through that mercy, you're born again, and His grace comes into manifestation because He gives you something you could not earn. Difference between mercy and grace? You know, you come home and the guy's robbing your house. You come out with a gun. He says, look, I'm doing this because my family's hungry. I'm only. We haven't eaten days. And finally, he convinces you, and that happened to be true. So you have mercy on him. It's okay. Okay. You know, put the stuff back and you can leave. You have mercy on him. Then difference between mercy and grace. Not only does mercy let him go, the grace steps in, adopts him into the family, gives him your last name, and gives him an inheritance in your household. So grace is mostly what he has towards a believer. But yet the closer I get to that place called done, that what I know he did for me is a finality. I mean, I wanted to know how final this thing was that he did for me. Because when I take something and I leave it there, when I walk away, I want to know that it's been taken care of. I mean, when I say taken care of, I mean I want to know when I turn my back on it and walk away that this thing has been left totally in his hands because of something Jesus provided by the grace of God that makes that entirely possible. Now, when I started believing that with more and more that was in me, it's when the joy started getting stronger and stronger, because with my heart inside, I started really, really believing that there's nothing that he can't do. Nothing. Didn't it ever bother you that he uses terminology like this? And nothing shall be impossible to you. In that passage, he was talking about if you ever dealt with a certain kind of unbelief, which he included fasting. And he ended it by saying, and nothing shall be impossible to you. How about this one? All things are possible to him that believeth. How about this one? You'll say to the mountain, be thou removed, cast into the sea. I mean, how do we break those things down into normal living? When I first discovered what he was really saying, I told him the journey to those things is longer than most people's lives that I know of. Yet, of all the people to say something that would be true, it would be you. You can say to the mountain, be removed, cast in the sea, and doubt not in your heart, you'd have what you're saying with your mouth. How about this one? The works I do, you'll do also. Then he says, and greater. Then there's no plural there on works. It's greater than these. The works I do, you will do also, and greater than these will you do. Because I'm gone to the Father. And every miracle he did, every Old Testament miracle, he said, all these works that I do, you can do also. And there's one greater work that even I can't do at this point. And what he was talking about, the works I'll do, you'll do also. All the Old Testaments, you name them, water to wine, on down the feeding the multitudes, on down the line, you'll do also. But a greater work than all of these, a greater than these, will you do for I go to the Father. And he went to the Father and finished redemption and made you a minister, not of the law, but of the Spirit. And even the one thing he couldn't do at that point was stand up and administrate the rebirth by talking somebody into believing. So we're talking about a place called Dunn. Now, this month I know better how to leave people there. Circumstances. Man, the other day I needed quite a bit of money in just a few days. It was Tuesday. By Thursday I had it.
When did you go get the money to it?
No.
Didn't you go ask for it?
No. What did you do? Well, I took Gary's advice and asked. I asked the Father. This place is so done. I might as well have the $5 million in the bank because I'm already experiencing the life that is life. Through the joy. How? Because I know that I'm knowing that I'm getting to know more that I know what I know that I'm knowing. Is I can drop people off there and things off there, and I can go there and get things. And it's just beginning. Tulsa's gonna suffer greatly at the hands of righteousness if it wants to continue sinning. The cities around us are gonna suffer greatly because of the light that's gonna shine here. I know we've been taking a long time to put a foundation under, but I expect you to stand up like a soldier and fight all hell, for the only thing God really cares about is people.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's the only thing I know of that a 98-pound grandma don't have to lift weights to whip the britches off of the devil. You know? Doesn't have to lift weights to move the mountain. Doesn't have to lift weights to believe 1 million souls in by the time she goes home. Why? Because she's found a place called Dunn. So I do want to get into some of those scriptures. It's come down to the favorite thing for me to do is leave people there. But I particularly love leaving people in this place called Dunn, leaving people, and then hearing the testimonies come back later on. Boy, we got some that just shake your boots up. But I think, hallelujah, Jesus. I'm trying to get away from this testimony. It just doesn't want to leave me. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Sometimes we give a testimony over because it's the kind that agrees with most people's problem. So in my first discoveries about this place called Dunn, I wasn't walking too heavily in it. But boy, it was enough to give God what He wanted. Now, when God wants to do something for you, He's generally got to get what He needs from you to do it with. We call that faith. Well, I had enough sense to know from praying in the Holy Ghost and things that who He loved more than anything was people. I thought He loved the new car I wanted. And just love people. So I started taking my relatives, and with my oldest living aunt, I took her. And I dropped her off in the place called Dunn. And I went my way, and a couple of years later, Got a call from the office that says, we've got this letter. You might want to return the call. So in the letter, it was from a woman who, when I knew her, I was in high school. She was 11 years old. So I was a freshman or so in high school. Me and her brothers ran around together, Phil and Henry. We were pretty ornery. I'd sneak Grandpa's cigars, and we'd hide behind the car. And I got that good Baptist family smoking cigars. See, Phil and Henry coming. I'd grab Grandpa's chew. And they didn't like the chew as good as they did the cigars. But we'd sneak out there and just puff away on them. You know how ornery we were? One time they did this, I didn't. They stuck a knife through a board into a shirt, and then they put it on and laid by the freeway and put ketchup on it. And that time they got in trouble. I'm glad I wasn't with them. Police came and chased them down. Anyway, I joined the Navy and leave. Carol, she comes out there when we're smoking no cigars and catches us and tells Jewel, the precious Baptist woman who just really loved God. Boy, did we get it. I mean, I could still hear them when I was running. So all of a sudden, you know, I'm in ministry and here and get this letter from Carol. It says, are you the same Dave Roberson that lived on White Road that knew my brothers Henry and Phil? And she goes on and on and on. And she says, my mama Jewel said, don't waste your time, daughter. It's not him. She says, are you him? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. You're really? Yes. What happened? I said, it's a long story. She said, well, you going to be anywhere near New Mexico? Oh, I'll be in Tucson, Arizona before long. It turned out that was a 4 or 5 week meeting, I think. So Carol came. Carol came with her precious mother Jewel. I think there's about 200 being filled with the Holy Ghost. People, I've stopped to receive the revival. If you'd ask me, I'd say I'd be doing more out there. But I have it from a good source. That 5 years into the revival, I will already have been born again in the 5 years than that I'd gotten my whole lifetime staying in the other level. Amen. So come home. No, it doesn't look like much yet, but boy, you had better hang on. He's requiring a lot of dying and some different things you wouldn't understand, but you better hang on. So about 200 was getting filled that night. I looked up and there's Carol, precious Jewel, her mother. They were getting filled with the Holy Spirit. She says, you got any relatives around Mexico? I said, yeah, I think I had some aunts and stuff, and uncles in Artesia, New Mexico. So I said, oh, that's where we're from. I said, really? Well, unbeknownst to me, I didn't even know it until I got the letter. Carol took it on herself to track the aunt down of the name I gave to her. Found her in a rest home, dying, and got her born again. What's the odds? Why do you think he said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers? He paid the price, you didn't. What does he want from you? You'd think of paying the price, he'd just go after him. Listen to me, you're the body, he's the head. Where the body moves is where he moves. When you pray for somebody, that's where he heals people. You call somebody that's lost, saved, then you've just incorporated heaven to go after them. So how about this place called Dunn? I mean, what do I do? You know, how do I go from where I am to where he is? Well, I can tell you this much about him. And one of the 9 attributes, immutable. Immutability means what? He cannot change, nor can he be changed. So this means that he can't change. The devil doesn't have enough power to change him, neither do you. He's constant, he's been the same. If you took an equation of infinity and infinity and ran it that way, I mean, and that when you got to the end of all eternity, he will already have lived forever before that. And he can't change. And his ability, he cannot. And do you know what? He said that I'm healed. He said that I'm healed. So if I'm not, he can't come where I am, but I sure can stand up and go where he is. Because where he is, that disease is not going to go. So where is he? In a place called Dunn. Well, where did he erect the place called Dunn on my behalf? At the cross, when he passed a permanent judgment on everything that he was judged in. Disease, sickness, lack of peace, sin. A permanent judgment. In fact, he said, this man at the end of the world attained one judgment for you. That means if I can attain to it, I'm as free as I can be. And there's nothing anybody can do about it. He's not only immutability, but in the 9 attributes, they're sovereign in each other. Like he loves immutably. Can't change. He loves him immutably. And he can't change. And he immutably loves, and he loves immutably. Well, he's sovereign, immutability, but he's immutably sovereign. So when he said something's done, nobody can change it. Watch the conditions. All I have to do is believe it and watch out. Kahel and everything else has to get out of the way because he can't change. Is she celebrating with me or laughing at me? So he sovereignly loves. He loves sovereignly. He's sovereignly judgment. Derived from the word just and justification. He's sovereignly just and he loves justly. Well, he's eternal life. Not everlasting. That means it had a beginning. He's eternal life. There's nowhere he began. He's immutably eternal. And he loves eternally. Well, I love him. He loves you. It doesn't feel like it. Oh, but he does. Well, I wish he'd love me more. He can't. He is love. If He could love you more, He would. But after all, He's God, and He's maxed it. So He can't love you any more than He already does.
Well, why don't you give me some advice?
And certainly, why don't you stop and find out how to receive more of what He already loves you with? Well, maybe He'll change. It's impossible for Him to change.
Well, all the things that's happening to me,
you're the one that can change them because He already has.
But you just don't know how it is.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. But I also know what He provided for, how that it is for me.
So what are you going to do?
I'm going to find out how to go where He said it's done. Thank you, Jesus. Well, He didn't lightly heal you. He didn't lightly destroy the curse. In fact, He can't do anything lightly because He is. He is. Moses thought he'd question Him.
Well, who shall I say?
No, who? Aaron, come over here. ask him. Who is it that's leading us out? And God says, who's leading you out? I'll tell you who's leading you out. You tell the Pharaoh that I am has sent you. You know what I am means? I am means He's simply the sum total of everything that is, was, or ever will be. So what assurance do I have? I am sent Him, and He sovereignly provided righteousness for anyone who wants what He has provided. Oh, really? What else did He give me? He destroyed the curse of disease and has sovereignly provided healing for anyone who wants it. Well, who shall I say that is healing me? I am He who is healing you. Do you need any help? I am. Okay, I'm healed. How many has more faith than when you came?
I esteem myself a believer, and you know, I'm a warrior. I'll fight that good fight of faith.
Do you know where the fight begins? When the devil, you, flesh, angels, had an encounter with them, the dark kind. I mean, when nothing can stop you from acting on the laws that He set into motion that changes you and everything around you. Nothing can stop you from acting them, but it doesn't look good. Nothing can stop you. Yeah, but I don't see how. Nothing. That's where you fight the fight. Hallelujah. Come on, people. Come on, we got to find out about this place. Chokidese. You can go there as on purpose. Absolute deliberately. Listen. Why would He pay such a horrendous price at the cross than have the path to the cross haphazard, tricks you, throws you off the road, pulls tricks on you. It's not the same twice. The path to the miracle is as sovereign and ordained as the miracle itself. My God, you can put one foot in front of the other till you get where you're going, where He said that you are. Oh, okay. Another version of it. There's no one that's ever had revival and sustained the revival who did not finish their journey to understand everything and who they are in me. For those that understand that fullness will not only sustain what I'm doing, but will also be sustained theirself. So be attentive and spend much time in the presence of your teacher, the Holy Spirit. For I'm lining you up to understand things that you've not understood before. And they are major keys in your faith. For indeed, a great work is on its way. And many of you will remember the things you said. And many of you will even have testimonies that really deep inside that you doubted. But in that day, you'll testify and you'll believe, saith the Lord. For each time, because those who will not be moved learn more and more about walking out of the flesh and into my presence, each time they're able to teach the new groups more and more accurately and more effectively. So you lose less. But know this. The wisdom is already on the way. The understandings have already been released. For indeed, you will enjoy a move. And many who've forsaken such a path will be back. And many will humble themselves and rejoice that they got in at such a late hour, saith the Lord. Oh. Oh. Did I read that right? Because the ones that don't leave keep learning more. They're able to hold on to more and rescue more. I think it's something like that. This is not a walk of the flesh, but a walk of the power, saith the Lord. For many of you said, this is too hard. For many, many pulled back and went into a comfort place. A place where they know they could have me, but not very much tribulation. Not understanding this path. But oh, for you that hold fast and get past these strongholds is the joy that I've been talking about. Oh, there's places in me that'll sustain you. You'll be full of joy and afraid of nothing. I'll use you to harvest many of the dark places that nobody wanted to go. But oh, great will be your reward, saith the Lord. All right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How many knows that all the apostles didn't die of martyrdom? Some of them, they did not resist death.
wanting to go home that way and attain a better resurrection. Do you remember when he told Peter enough to get a sword? He needed it for the garden. So they got their swords and sheathed them. So of course Peter would think, this is what I'm going to use it. The high priest and his servant was coming to soldiers, Judas. They come to get him. Peter unsheathed, cut the high priest's servant's ear off. Right in the middle of the chaos, people running and hiding, and soldiers arresting, falling down on the ground, getting back up. I'd have left him alone right then when I got up, wouldn't you? I'd have said, go ahead. You can bet they knew it was out of their hands. But they were under orders. I mean, you don't all fall down on the ground and get back up and continue to harass the guy that's in front of you. Peter cut his ear off. He said, Peter, sheath your sword. My kingdom of this world I'd fight. Right in the middle of all that chaos, he reaches up, puts his ear back on. I don't think he hunted for the other one. I think he went like this. When he took his hand away, there was an ear. You know, I don't care who was in. I have a soldier right there. I said, Master, may I go die with you? We think we'd have said that. In the middle of all that chaos, he puts his ear back on. He said, sheath your sword, Peter. If my kingdom was of this world, I'd fight. But it's not of this world. So he sheathed his sword and they didn't resist. Well, then in Peter's place, Jesus substituted himself, didn't he? Didn't he? Washed the filth of betrayal off Judas's feet too, didn't he? Before he went and betrayed him. Sheathed your sword, Peter. And he went away in Peter's place. And he's pierced in the side. He's lashed until his back was a masses of flesh that had been dislodged. Crowned him to the skull with Jerusalem thorns. Hit with the palms of their hands in the face and prophesy, say, who hit you? Then he hung him up. Nailed him. Waited for him to die. Died the worst kind of violent death. In whose place? Peter's. Yours. But you notice what he said, sheath to the sword. My kingdom is this world I'd fight. You know what I know now? I know that I can walk into the darkest part of any nation, no matter how severe, how full of witchcraft, how full of violence, that I can walk right into that dark place and preach Jesus because I know that he died that death for me. Some of the apostles died of old age. John, Mary, the mother of Jesus, died as the adopted mother of John of her old age in his house in Ephesus, Asia Minor. After her death, he is banished to the Isle of Patmos. It was there he received the book of Revelation and came back. Died a good old age. Paul, he said, I'm ready to be offered. And I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've ran a good race. I'm talking about a place called done.